Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Appreciate you spending some time. We've got Did You Hear This coming up at 11:20. If you're new to checking out the show, we always appreciate you listening. And thanks for checking us out. We do something at 11:20 every day to get you caught up on the headlines. Driving to lunch or wherever you're going, you can't listen during the morning sometimes. So we'll catch you up on the big newsmakers. And there have been a ton on the show today. So it should be pretty quick moving. It happens at 11:20. So stick around for it. We talked about the audit earlier today, and we've been talking, it's been a pretty consistent topic because of the direction it's taken, in my opinion, and because of the focus that has been on it within my political party, within the Republican Party. I don't think they made a mistake in doing an audit. I was in favor of an audit when it started. I don't like the direction it's taken, but I also don't like the importance that's been given to it. Do it. But it should not be number one. It shouldn't have been number one. It should have not been on the top of their priority list. And it has been. And so it's the one thing Republicans are fighting about. I have been a Republican my whole life. But I have been a member of the party, which I'm not anymore. And I've done a lot of work and volunteer stuff. And all that gets thrown out the window on this one topic, which shows you the importance that so many people are putting on this audit. Well, it's coming to a close. And I'm going to kind of go in a little bit of reverse order here. Stephen Richer, the county recorder, was on with me today. We had heard from people down at the audit that at the end of the audit, they did a count of ballots. So it was the 2.1 million ballots that were cast, not the votes, but how many physical ballots they had. So they wanted to match up their count versus the count that the county said they sent over. And so I talked to Mr. Richer, and I asked him, when are you going to get the ballots back?
We're the ones that are going there today and picking them up and taking them back, and it's our people who are loading them. But so we're getting all the equipment back today and the ballots back today, and so everything should be back to the county by the end of the day.
But it's really not over, and here's part of the issue, is that the auditors don't feel like they have all the information they need to make a decision and to get to the bottom of whatever they're trying to get to the bottom of, so they've reissued subpoenas. They have subpoenaed the routers from the county. They have subpoenaed the mail-in ballot envelopes. So I asked Mr. Richer about this because some of what they're asking for, although they subpoenaed the county board of supervisors, some of these items are under the control of the county recorder's office. So I asked him, are you going to comply?
We did actually already deliver all of the digital images of the envelopes, and so we're a little confused as to why they wouldn't have those. But we'll look at re-downloading those and resending to them if they've perhaps misplaced them.
So I don't know if they want the physical envelopes versus the digital images of the envelopes for whatever inspection they might want to do like they did on the paper. I don't know what the reasoning is behind that. I will say this, and I think this was a valid point, and anybody out there, maybe you can tell me where I'm wrong, and if I am, I'd love to hear the answer to it. What are they looking for? Because they had the ballots. As a matter of fact, they're returning the ballots today. The county recorder's office went down to pick up those ballots. If they hadn't done it then, they're doing it now, picking up those ballots. But for months now, they have physically had in their possession all of the ballots that were cast in Maricopa County. If you believe that the machine count of the ballots was skewed by some kind of fault or intentional hacking of the voting machines, you have the physical ballots. What else do you need to find the fraud you're looking for? They inspected the ballots for the type of paper that was being used. They inspected some of the ballots for watermarks. They looked for folds in the mail-in ballots. I mean, they were looking at so many different things by having the ballots. What more do they need? And why? I think that's a valid question for the voters in Maricopa County to ask. The routers, all of the things that they're asking for. And I don't know why they're asking. And so I'm not saying they're hiding that answer. I just haven't heard it. But if you've got the ballots and you brought in volunteers, and they had those like a lazy Susan on a table, and there were three ballot counters per table, and you, every one of those three people looked at every single ballot, and everybody had to agree with the vote on that ballot in order for that valid ballot to be deemed a valid vote. If you've already done that, then if there's been voter fraud, you found it. And then if you say, if you were to come to people and say, here's what we did. These were the number of votes that were cast for Joe Biden. These were the number of votes cast for Donald Trump, according to the machines. We found a discrepancy of X many ballots. Therefore, we want to know what's up with those machines. That's different, but that's not what we've heard. They want routers, they want passwords, they want envelopes, and no one knows why. So I talked to Mr. Richer about what was going on today. Again, Stephen Richer is the county recorder, and so he's in charge of the Maricopa County elections. And one of the stories that has come out in recent days is about financing. Who paid for the audit? And you know what they say about anything else? Follow the money. And here's what he said.
New information came out yesterday that, you know, basically 99% of the funding is coming from outside sources. So really, who's the master of these activities at this point?
And that's been the big question. So the rumor mill that's out there, and again, it's all rumors, but the question's being asked. And I'll tell you, I'm someone that asks this question. Who's pulling the strings? What I mean by that is if you've got private entities that are paying for this, if they are ponying up the money, are they just blind? Are they handing over a pile of money to Senator Karen Fann and to other leaders in this ballot and honestly saying you're in charge, you do what you think is best? Or is there contingencies on these are the people we want hired? There's got to be a reason. And I don't know what that reason is, but there has to be a reason why they hired an inexperienced company when it comes to, I'm not calling them inexperienced in the technical world. I'm saying in election audits, which is a unique specialty, just like being a physician, you can be a great ear, nose, and throat doctor. You're not doing a heart transplant on me. You may be brilliant in your field. That doesn't translate and mean you're going to be brilliant in this. They are inexperienced in election auditing. There's a reason why they were hired, and I don't know what that reason is. And there are a lot of people that have said that there are a lot more qualified companies that would have cost a little bit more money. The state paid $150,000. The other company was going to cost $450,000, but they raised almost $6 million to pay for the audit. So it seems like for what they called the most important audit that's ever happened, the first time it's ever been done, you would want the highest, most qualified people out there. Did they get those? And if not, who was pulling the strings? Who was the one that said a documentarian was going to be allowed on the audit floor? Who was the one that did a lot of the things that happened? Those are valid questions, and many people say follow the money. In a moment, it's called Did You Hear This? We do this every day at 11:20, and there was a busy news day. So if you're still cruising around, stay in your car. You're going to want to hear it next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, let's get to it. A big, big news day on the show. We want to catch you up as fast as we can. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
The CDC wants vaccinated people to wear masks again. And Arizona Governor Doug Ducey disagrees.
There's confusion and it's a conflicting message. If the vaccine is safe and it's effective, you don't have to wear a mask. That's common sense.
Who's right, the CDC or the governor?
I think the governor's right. I've been saying this all along. I think what is happening is we are struggling to get people between the ages of 20 and 44 years old vaccinated. Also younger than that, but those are parental choices for the most part. And the message should be normalcy and getting back to normalcy. They already know in their minds they're not going to get sick. They're not going to die from this. So you're fighting an uphill battle. But explaining to them that it's because of their age group that this is perpetuating, especially a contagious variant of this virus, the messaging should be get vaccinated because it's the right thing to do. But if you tell them you're going to have to get vaccinated and wear a mask, forget it. They're not going to do it. I think the mixed message is horrible. If the vaccine works, then tell people it works, which they are saying, but mask up anyway doesn't make any sense. I think there's a different reason they're doing it. They should just come clean about it and let's just move forward.
Some parents might still be a little confused. Does your child need to wear a mask when they start school again? Governor Ducey provided some clarity.
In Arizona, there's no mask mandates. There's no vaccine mandates. There's no vaccine passports. I'm going to ask people to follow the law. They can also, of course, listen to the CDC. And remember, these are recommendations.
Are you in lockstep with that?
Yeah, I think that the idea of parental control when it comes to your children in schools, ultimately, the governor's not in charge. The governor is saying that the school districts can't be in charge. The governor is saying if you want to wear a mask or you want your child to wear a mask, you send your child to school in a mask. But the school districts, by virtue of that being a government agency, the government is not going to tell you what to do. That kind of freedom, I think, is necessary. I think there will be a lot of people that wear masks. I applaud that those kids will be wearing masks, but not forcing parents to do this is the right thing to do. You're listening to Did You Hear This? We do this every single day at 11:20 to get you caught up on the big news stories. We've had a lot of big news stories on the show. What's next, Steve?
Arizona's chief of schools, Kathy Hoffman, is not happy with Governor Ducey taking away district's ability to implement those mask mandates. So, Mike, you asked her why parents can't make that decision for their kids instead of the districts.
I guess I just don't presume that every parent has the time to do the research, to talk to their medical experts. I know sometimes there's language barriers. There's all kinds of challenges. So I just don't assume that everyone has the same information.
Does she have a point?
No, I don't think that she does. As a matter of fact, I think it's a little bit insulting to a lot of parents to think that they wouldn't do the research on what's best for their kids, especially when everybody is talking about this variant of COVID-19. People are more aware of COVID-19 than anything else that's going on right now. After the last school year and the one before that, where there was a lot of online learning and then the return to the classroom included masks. And so their people are laser focused on this. And the big question heading back into this school year for parents has been about masks. I think that Kathy Hoffman is well within her rights and her responsibility to notify parents as to what they think is reasonable and right. Same with every school district. They have every right to send out notifications with statistics to parents, encouraging mask wearing. But ultimately, control belongs with the parents. That's where it should stay. That's why I disagree with Ms. Hoffman.
Your ballot from the 2020 election might be on the move again today. Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer says he will be picking up the ballots from the Cyber Ninjas today.
We're the ones that are going there today and picking them up and taking them back, and it's our people who are loading them. But so we're getting all the equipment back today and the ballots back today, and so everything should be back to the county by the end of the day.
Now that the ballots are back, is that kind of the nail in the coffin for this audit?
No, because they're still subpoenaing other things. Now they want more of the ballot envelopes. I don't know what they're going to do with the envelopes. As you heard him also say that they've given them the digital images of the envelopes. I don't know what more they need with the envelopes. They want passwords. They want passwords that the county doesn't have. So they have sent subpoenas also to Dominion, who own the machines. I don't know what they need out of the machines. They're also looking for the county routers. So they are still digging, which sounds to me like they're not prepared to write their report. They're done with this phase, but they're still going to do more. So I have no idea when this is going to end. That's Did You Hear This? Big news day. I don't know who's been busier, me or Steve Zinsmeister, making sure that all of that audio was available to you. But it's been a busy day. Steve, thanks for getting the great guest. You lined up most of those. And so it's been a big day on the show. One of the topics we're going to talk about next is, do your kids need to wear a mask? It was a very fascinating conversation from the governor's perspective. And to be fully clear, if you're listening to the show, you know, I agree with what the governor is saying. But Kathy Hoffman, the superintendent, makes reasonable replies and has a different take on what should happen. So we're going to let you hear the two of those. But ultimately, you, the parent, have to decide. So we're going to give you the information so that you can make that decision. That's going to happen here in just a couple of moments.
strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. We're going to talk about the masks and what this has turned into, especially when it comes to our kids. I'm a big social media user. I love the interaction on social media, especially when there's disagreement. It's a great Twitter, especially. People are crazy on Twitter. We understand there's a lot of people that are just angry and say horrible things. But when you weed through all of that, it's a concise way of trading thoughts with each other, which I love. I absolutely love it. Even when people are angry, but it's civil but upset. Does that make sense? Somebody who on Twitter responded, and this is actually someone that is a PhD, said he closed an entire district in Flag, talking about the Governor Ducey, in Flag too. Let's make sure to give credit where credit's due, and laughed. And I replied and I said, he closed down the district. You mean that the people in Flagstaff that had the option to send their kids to school in masks didn't because the governor stopped them from wearing masks? No, that's not what happened. The option is there for parents to mask their children if they want to. So blame the parents that don't send their kids to school in a mask. I mean, this is the issue that I have with this. Parental control is good because there's going to come a time when you as a parent disagree with a policy at the district. And you are going to want to make sure that your wishes come before the district's. A quick example, and I've told this story before. We were taking our girls, my ex-wife and I were taking the girls on a trip to Washington, D.C. There was an exhibit at Arlington National Cemetery called Faces of the Fallen. And it was artist rendering of fallen soldiers. And it was a bunch of different artists that were chosen to do different renderings of different troops. So my brother's portrait was in this exhibit. So we took the girls to see this, which I thought was a very significant thing they needed to see. And we were taking them, and it was during the school year. Cactus High School administration actually told us that we had to go to a meeting of a bunch of administrators at the school and get their permission to take our child on a trip, that they would not excuse the absence without a meeting. So I just went and informed them, we're taking her. She's going to do her schoolwork with her. She's gone to all of her teachers. She's getting her work. She's going to do it. I'm not here to ask your permission. I'm here to tell you that we're going. And I'm a little bit insulted that you think I have to ask your permission on what to do with my child. And we walked out. And I mean, shocking. An hour later, we got the approval from the school to take our child on a trip. Now, I don't care if we were going on vacation to Tahiti. If I think that's what's best for my child, I have the right to do what I want with my child. So do you, and so does anyone else. There may be parents that disagree, but it's my child. And so there are going to be times when you disagree, and you would be happy that the parents ultimately have control of what happens with their child. This is one of those cases. If you firmly believe that your child needs to be masked, mask them. And if you think that they need to stay away from kids that aren't masked, tell them to stay away from the children that aren't masked. But the idea that somehow the governor or Dr. Kara Crist, who, by the way, on this show said just last week, I believe it was, said that her children that aren't vaccinated because they're too young are wearing masks to school. This fight is senseless. So here's what the governor said about masks.
It's about parental choice, and it's about common sense and personal responsibility. So the parents are going to make the decision on this.
Ultimately, we know when I talked with Kathy Hoffman. I played this before. She's the superintendent. Here's why she thinks there needs to be mandates.
I guess I just don't presume that every parent has the time to do the research, to talk to their medical experts. I know. I just don't assume that every, you know, that sometimes there's language barriers, there's all kinds of challenges. So I just don't assume that everyone has the same information or the same time to do the research. And so that's why it's important for the public health experts to make recommendations and for people who are in leadership roles to provide that steady leadership.
So in other words, the school districts are better prepared to make these decisions than parents. I don't know about you, but I want you to think about yourself and other people that have children. Do you not do your homework on what is best for them, especially when it comes to a pandemic? When it comes to vaccinations for kids, parents do their homework. When it comes to wearing masks to school, when it comes to anything that's necessary for their children, parents do their homework. Parental control is essential. I don't think it's us against them, and I don't know why everything has to be us against them, but the school districts have no more accuracy and information than the parents have. They have no more access to information than the parents have. Now, the school districts can be a great resource. If the school districts want to send notifications home saying, hey, in this zip code where we live, where this school district is, here are the number of cases that are happening right now. This is why we are asking and encouraging all students to wear masks while they're on campus. I think that's well within their rights to do that, well within a sense of responsibility if they feel it to do it. What the government is saying is that no government agency is going to override the final decision of a parent. With that being said, the head of the Arizona Department of Health Services on this show said her unvaccinated children will be wearing masks to school. The governor talked about, you know, wearing masks, listening to what the CDC says. What Arizona is saying is we are giving parents ultimate control. How anybody can craft that and twist it into something bad, I don't understand. Kathy Hoffman has been a gracious guest on this show. She knows I disagree with her on a number of things. The conversation is always civil. I always give her the time to make her points. I don't ever accuse her or try to put words in her mouth. But when you say I don't presume that parents do their homework or can do their homework, it's a little bit insulting. I'm not saying she's trying to be insulting, but the idea that parents through a language barrier, that's not everything is available in different languages. I mean, it just is, especially Spanish here in Arizona. Everything's available in Spanish. Arizona Department of Health Services, other things, information is available. The idea of parental control is essential. We've gotten too far away from it in education, in my opinion. We're seeing more and more of it after online learning. Parents are more concerned about curriculum. Parents are more concerned about what's being taught, but how it's being taught. And parents are concerned about having control. And they have every right to be concerned. A, and least of importance, they're the taxpayer. They are the ones that fund the schools. But more importantly, they are the parents and ultimately responsible for these children. And so they have every right to say, I want my child to learn this, but I don't want them to learn that. And parents will make the right decision. So you're going to see, I would say, most kids, especially the younger ones, will be masked at school. And you're going to see some that aren't. It can be navigated. It should be navigated. There are cases of COVID-19. And when you look at the numbers, young people are the ones, if they're getting it, and they are getting it sometimes, they are the ones that are the least they have the least chance of being severely ill or dying. By the largest gap, it's not even close. The under 20 crowd in Arizona, there have been 34 deaths, 34 across the state. The next lowest group is 20 to 44 with 766. Every other age group has over 1,000, and the oldest age group has over 13,000. There have been 34 deaths. So the youngest people among us are not the ones that are susceptible to the most danger. Now, who they are with, who they go around, who they live with does matter. But I would say to you that ultimately parental control is essential. More about this in a moment, because how does it affect staffing in the classroom? We talked with Ms. Hoffman about that as well. How many teachers do we need? How many do we have? And is it being affected by COVID? Next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Just a few minutes left. Been a very, very busy day on the show. If you missed any part of it, catch it on the podcast later. You can always subscribe to the podcast. It's easy to do and never miss a minute of the show. It's great. It's the Mike Broomhead Show podcast. A lot of guests on the show today. The governor was in for 30 minutes. We spoke with Stephen Richer, the county recorder, about what's going on with the audit. And then Kathy Hoffman, the superintendent. Again, I have a lot of respect for Ms. Hoffman coming on the show. She knows I disagree with things. We do it civilly, but I want you to have a well-rounded picture. Ultimately, I obviously have very strong opinions, but you have to make the decisions that are best for you and for your family. So I agree with the governor in principle on the idea that ultimately it's parental control. Again, I have been fully vaccinated. I got fully vaccinated at the very first opportunity for my age group when they started, you know, taking the limits off. I went and got vaccinated. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm someone that did my homework and made the decision to get vaccinated. But I ultimately think no matter what it is, personal freedoms are the most important and they need to be protected. And in this case, when it comes to your children, parents ultimately should have the decision about what their child does. And if you want parents to make the decision to mask their children, educate the parents. Don't mandate the children. That's just the approach I think is best. I think that's the one that should be protected. There is a story about how schools have changed, that the school districts have seen a slight decline in the number of teachers are available. Now, they have enough teachers. They're lost some specialists in some things in the district schools. But there has been a 14% increase in charter school teachers. They've gotten a 14% increase in teachers in charter schools. And there's been a 136% increase in online, which makes perfect sense because before COVID-19, it was more of a niche than a necessity. It became a necessity during COVID-19. So when you look at what's going on in the workforce changes, you ask yourself why. We have also seen a drop in enrollment. Young children especially, parents have pulled their children out of the district schools. They're sending them to private schools. They're sending them to charter schools. They are doing homeschooling. They're taking different alternatives. And I think our school districts need to change along with that. I don't think that every experience that a parent has had, nor would I say most of the experiences that parents have had with the school system during online learning have been negative experiences. But I do think what's happened is parents are paying closer attention to not just what their kids are learning, but how they're learning it. And there have been parents that have been very critical of some of the things the teachers have done. And some of that criticism has been very, very appropriate criticism. And so parents are paying closer attention to not just what their children are learning, but how they are learning it. And in the end, that's a good thing. There has been a battle for control. And I say that as a little bit jaded myself because there were some battles, not a lot. I mean, listen, we were not the type of parents that were confrontational with people. But my ex-wife especially was involved in the education of the girls. And we were hands-on when it came to education. So there were times when we called meetings with teachers or administrators to get questions answered, like any good parent would do. Ultimately, I think the parents have to have more control over the decisions that are made. They're not the professional educators. That's why they've hired teachers. But that doesn't mean that there aren't topics that should be off limits, that there shouldn't be limits on what the teachers are allowed to do. You know, I know this is a little bit off topic from masks, or a lot off topic from masks, but the sex education curriculums across the state and parental involvement in what's being taught and what isn't. I would say to most people that we would teach our children what we want them to know, how we want them to know it, when we want them to know it at different times. And it is still a parental responsibility and a parental right, and I think a privilege for parents to influence not the birds and the bees and the science of sexuality, but obviously of the morality of sexuality. And on that topic alone, parents should have control over what's taught to their children and when. Ultimately, period, end of story. And if you want to say, well, it leads to this or it leads to that, you can say it leads to whatever you want. There is no more personal thing than the morality of sexuality and when your children learn it. As far as the masks go, I think you're going to see the majority of kids go back to school in masks. That's terrific. There will be some parents that tell their children not to, and you've got to be able to work around it. That's the freedom in America. You can't shut down freedoms because you don't like results sometimes. And I think if you trust people with accurate information, they'll make wise decisions. Social media users, I am at Broomhead KTAR on Twitter, Mike Broomhead, all one word, on Instagram. Would love to hear from you and keep in touch outside of the show. Back tomorrow around 8 a.m. Until then, have a great day. God bless.